Shema Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations. The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, Here Am I, was written by Joseph Mindel and is presented in observance of Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year. Who will say how often the Lord spoke unto men and was not heard? But there came a time when he spoke again, saying, Abraham, Abraham. And Abraham answered,
Here am I.
Long ago, in the days not far removed from the beginning of the world, Abraham undertook a journey.
We will leave tomorrow early in the morning, Sarah.
Abraham, take good care of our son.
You do not have to tell me.
See that Isaac eats well, and don't let him sit in the sun. Or go off by himself and get lost.
You think of him as a child.
He is a child, my only child.
He cannot always remain one.
Abraham, let me go with you.
You said you would not ask again.
Then leave Isaac with me.
The journey is on his account.
Is it, Abraham? It is not Isaac who cries out in his sleep at night. It is not his eyes that burn like live embers. Is the journey on his account?
If it is for me, Sarah, is it not also for him?
I will not speak of it again. When will you return? That, too, you will not tell.
If it were possible, I would tell you.
I know, I know. I would like to speak with Isaac for a little while.
Of course.
I hope that when I talk to him, I will not cry.
Sarah, there is worse than weeping in the world.
Sarah took the boy Isaac by the hand and sat beside him and did not talk. And lest he himself should weep, Abraham turned to sit, head bowed and tearless, in the threshold of his house. As he heard the footsteps on the road that passed his house, he rose, even now not forgetting his obligation to a traveler passing. But when he stood, the footsteps stopped, and then retreated, running.
Wait! Come back! Where are you running? Wait for me! Wait!
You have caught me. I can run no more.
You didn't have to run.
What are you going to do with me?
Well, you're afraid. You don't have to be afraid.
I have no more money to give you. The others from whom I ran, they took it away.
I have not asked you for money.
I will give you my cloak. It was a good cloak.
It's torn and stained with blood.
Some were angry when they found I had no money.
What are you called?
My name is Eshkol. The cloak can be washed and sewed.
I do not want your cloak. Come, Eshkol.
I will be your bondman. I will work for you. I am not asking you to spare me for nothing. I know the customs of the country.
They are not my customs. Get up, Eshkol. Come.
Where are you taking me?
You are a stranger and tired and hungry. Shall I let you pass without rest and without food? There's more bread, Eshkol.
I've had enough. Thank you.
Oh, not me, Eshkol. Give your thanks to God. For he alone provides food and drink for all creatures. You turn your head from side to side. Are you looking for something?
At home, I had a god. He was made of stone, very fine stone, and his name was Monomoth. I do not see your God.
You cannot see him, yet he is the ruler of heaven and earth.
How can you speak to a God you cannot see? How can I give him thanks?
I will tell you how. Say, blessed be he that giveth bread and food unto all flesh. Say it.
Blessed be he that giveth bread and food unto all flesh. Abraham, I want to stay here with you.
Stay, if you wish. But I will not be here, Eshcol. Tomorrow, I start on a journey.
Is everything packed?
Abraham, am I or am I not your chief servant?
Of course you are, Elliot.
Then tell me, if you please, who is this stranger meddling with the packs and the donkeys?
Eshcol only wants to help.
Well, it doesn't help to have him undo everything I do. And besides, he says he's coming with us.
You said you would let me stay with you, Abraham.
Here in my house, Eshcol, but...
Let me go with you.
I do not understand why you want to go, but... We can use your help.
No.
Eliezer, he will make your burden lighter.
If you say so, Abraham. Well, don't stand there, Eshcol. Get to work.
Isaac, my son, where are you?
I am ready, Father.
Then, bid your mother farewell.
I will walk a little way with you.
Oh, no, Mother, please.
It would be better if you returned to the house, Sarah.
It would be better if we all returned. Abraham, why do you take away the son of my old age?
There are things he must learn before he becomes a man.
Let him learn them here, in his own house, among his own people. Always, Abraham, always we have been strangers in a land not our own. From Ur of the Chaldees, for a brief minute to Canaan, and then to Egypt.
Yet we have lived, Sarah.
And how long will we remain here? Abraham, look around you. We have a house, land, and flock, servants. We have peace and safety.
Sarah, I'm not departing forever.
But you will not remain. And my son Isaac, who knows when I will see him again?
Who knows?
You say that, and still you take him away.
Sarah, that is the hazard of living.
Abraham set out with his son Isaac, and his attendants Eliezer and Eshcol. And Isaac wept at leaving his mother, but yet his heart was filled with excitement of the journey, though he did not know his destination. But Abraham rode with his head bent, and thought of what he had said to Sarah.
Hazard of living? Or is it that I have created for myself hazards in my life, as when long ago I was commanded by Nimrod the king to appear before him in his palace to do his bidding?
You have come as I commanded, Abraham.
You see me before you, Nimrod.
Then you will do as I commanded you. Acknowledge me, king and God.
King you are.
King and God, Abraham. Say it.
If I do, will that make you indeed a god?
Say it.
Or will it prove only that I am afraid?
I do not need your confirmation. Still, I will give you jewels and more fine clothing than you can wear in a lifetime.
I do not need so many clothes.
If you are trying to make me angry, you are succeeding. Abraham, I know your father, Terah. He is my friend.
Of course, he makes your wooden and stone idols.
Now he is my friend. For his sake, then, if not for your own, acknowledge me, king and God.
Nimrod, miserable man, the eternal is God, the only one, and there is none beside.
Take him away! Put him in the deepest prison cell!
Still you will hear my voice!
I am no more than other men. Life is precious to me as to others. I defied Nimrod, and yet I had no choice. For I was committed. Maybe it was a test. Yes, it was a test of the firmness of my commitment.
I did not hear what was said, Father.
Well, I must have been talking to myself, Isaac.
You were thinking of the old days, weren't you?
How did you know?
Well, tell me the things you remember. Tell me again how you left your father.
I remember how his face was lined and how white his hair was. He was very old.
How could you leave him?
I had to leave.
Weren't you afraid to be alone? To wander from place to place alone?
I was not a child, Isaac.
Maybe when I'm older, I will not be afraid. But, Father, I think that no matter how old I was, I would be sad to leave you.
I was sad, too.
Then why didn't you stay? Father?
Because I heard a voice say, "Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto the land that I will show thee."
Whose voice, Father?
And the voice said, "I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed."
Did you really hear the voice, Father?
I heard it, Isaac.
But did you really?
Isaac, even if it was in my own imagining, even then, I would have left my home and my father. I had no choice. But that is not true. I had the choice of committing myself to what I believe or refusing the commitment, and I did not refuse. Therefore, my entire life has been a journey to explore the limits of my commitment. How far? Isn't it enough that I gave up a safe and certain home, or that I was willing to give up my life? How far?
Abraham, wait for me. Abraham, it is time to stop for the night.
Yes, Eliezer, it's time to stop.
Good. Eshcol, stir yourself. Unload the animals.
Yes, Eliezer.
Are you cold, Ice?
Oh, no, Father.
There's a chill in the air. Put on a warmer cloak. I promised your mother.
Women always think their men are not dressed warmly enough.
You've grown much in one day. Isaac, there's something I want you to do.
Oh, anything, Father. Shall I build the fire or prepare the evening meal?
I want you to gather sticks of wood.
Excuse me, Abraham, but I have already gathered enough for a fire tonight.
It is not for tonight, Eshcol. Gather the wood, Isaac, and tie it together. We will take it with us tomorrow.
I'll help you, Isaac.
No, I'm not a child.
Let him be, Eshcol. He must do it himself.
Why?
Make the fire and help Eliezer with the animals.
Why must the boy gather the wood himself, Abraham? How is the wood he gathers different from that which I pick up from the ground?
The wood is the same. The act and the purpose are different.
Abraham, this wood is not for an ordinary purpose.
No. This is not an ordinary journey.
On the morning of the second day, they resumed the journey. Abraham's eyes looked before him, searching for a place that he would recognize. But they saw no such place. And the men and the boy rode further.
Are we almost there, Father?
I can't tell you, my son.
What is the name of the place to which we are going?
Nor can I tell you that.
Then how will you know when we reach it?
I will know.
Will I know, too?
I hope so, Isaac. I hope so.
They traveled all day. When the sky grew dark and the air cold, they stopped. Abraham sat and rested for a while, and then he called his son.
Isaac, bring the wood you gathered yesterday.
Here's the wood, Father.
Now take the axe and split the wood lengthwise. Be careful, my son. The axe is sharp.
This is how we split the wood for a burnt offering.
Yes, Isaac.
There is no altar.
When the time comes that an altar is needed, we will build one.
Well, yes. There are stones. We can build an altar. But we have not brought a lamb for the burnt offering.
When the time comes, there will be a burnt offering.
Oh.
Did you hear me, Isaac?
I heard, Father.
You understand what I have said?
No. But shall I not have faith in my father's words?
Abraham. Abraham.
Why aren't you sleeping, Eshcol?
I want to talk to you.
Not now. Tomorrow.
Abraham, I know what is in your mind to do. Maybe tomorrow will be too late to talk.
I have no heart to talk to you.
Then listen and hear what I have to say.
Eshcol, who are you to speak in such a manner?
I do not have to tell you. I am a stranger with no friend but you.
Then do not talk of matters that are not your concern.
Is Abraham grown so great that ordinary men must petition to speak before him?
Forgive me, Eshcol.
Look, Abraham, there is Isaac. Sleeping by the fire.
I have lain awake to watch
you. Your only son, whom God gave you in your later days. Where are you taking him?
To a place where he may meet his God and know him.
At the risk of his life.
There is always risk. You risk your life to travel with me in a strange land, and what am I to you?
It is not the same.
And is it safe to defy a king? Should I therefore bow before Nimrod?
I am talking about Isaac.
So am I. If there is danger in the journey, shall Isaac stay at home? Is it better to be safe and to live in falsehood and evil because it is dangerous to know God?
How far, Abraham? How far will you go?
I have asked that to Eshcol. I do not know the answer.
Then find it for yourself. But for Isaac, did you ask him if he wants to go?
I have asked him nothing and told him nothing.
You have no right to make your son's commitment. You have no right to decide for him.
Eshcol, when a man decides, it is not for himself alone. If I had done as you say I should, if I had left Isaac safely at home, that too would have been my decision. To do nothing is still making a choice.
On the third day of the journey, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw a place far off. Still, they traveled many hours. And all that time, Abraham looked neither to the right nor to the left, until they stood close to the place which was in the land of Moriah. And still, he was not sure.
Eliezer, look there, where my finger points.
Do you mean the mountain?
Tell me what you see.
I see a mountain like the other mountains. What else?
And you, Eshcol, what do you see? Eshcol!
I looked long, Abraham. I hoped I would see more. It is only a mountain.
Look, brother! There is a pillar of fire on the mountain, and a great cloud over it. Do you see it?
I see it. Isaac, take the wood you cut and carry it on your back.
You are going up to the mountain, you and Isaac?
Eshcol, Eliezer, remain here. We will come back to you.
Hurry, father! Run!
There is no need to run. Now there is time enough.
Eshcol, suddenly they disappeared from sight.
Did you hear what he said, Eliezer?
1 minute I saw them, the next they were gone.
I think it was not what he meant to say. And yet I think it was a prophecy.
What are you talking about?
About Abraham's words as he went up the mountain with Isaac. He said, "We will come back to you."
Abraham and his son went up into the mountain of Moriah. At first, Isaac ran ahead, his voice shrill with eagerness. But Abraham was overcome with a reluctance that was not of weariness. Then after a while, Isaac too was silent, and they walked in the quiet of the forest, slowly and more slowly, until at last they stood still.
Let me carry the wood, Isaac.
It isn't heavy. Father, now I understand. Where is the lamb, I asked myself. Now I know.
Are you afraid, my son?
Only at first. But not anymore.
Then let us go higher.
Reluctance fell from Abraham, and he walked with an easy step toward the end of the journey. For he had found what he sought, and knew that there could be no limits to his commitment, that he could not say, no man could say, so far I will go and no further in the ways of God. So they went, both of them together, Abraham and Isaac, to the place that had been chosen, and prepared to prove that which needed no proof. And a voice called out of the heavens, saying, "Abraham, Abraham." And Abraham answered,
"Here am I."
And the voice said, "Lay not thy hand upon the lad." And Abraham let fall his hand and bless the name of the Lord. Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. He went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering. And then a second time he heard the voice saying, "In blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply your seed as the stars of the heaven, as the sand which is upon the seashore. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." Abraham heard, but he was not content.
"I will not leave this altar until I have said what I have to say."
And the reply came, "Speak whatsoever you have to speak."
"It may come to pass that the children of Isaac may commit trespasses, and because of them fall upon evil times."
And the voice thundered, "Your children will sin before me in time to come, and I will sit in judgment upon them on the New Year's Day."
"Then let them remember what happened here in this place today."
Then, out of the midst of a great silence, came the voice of the Lord, saying, "They shall blow the ram's horn on that day, and repent, and ask forgiveness, and I will forgive them for their sins." If you should like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Rabbi Max Rutenberg, Executive Vice President of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Rabbi Rutenberg.
Our story today, based on the biblical account of the binding of Isaac, is read in the synagogue as the scriptural portion for Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year. It is a story that probes the depths of human emotion and exposes in startling fashion man's dilemma when confronted by the call of duty, that stern voice of God. The biblical writer in this tale seeks to emphasize the heroism of Abraham, who, tested to the utmost limits of his faith, never falters, but acts out his profession of faith to the fullest degree. This was the crowning glory of the life of Abraham, a life dedicated to God, a life committed to duty under divine command. The High Holy Day season is for the Jew a solemn occasion for honest self-analysis, in which he acknowledges his failures and asks for divine aid in leading a nobler life during the years ahead. As he listens to the reading of the scriptural portion and hears with Abraham, the first Jew, the call to duty and the steady, confident response, "Here am I," he is challenged to emulate the example of his patriarchal ancestor. As the heir of a great religious tradition, he is summoned to live his life humbly before God, to love mercy, and to deal justly with his fellow man. The history of the Jewish people is a commitment to a life of duty under divine command. The call to each individual is to honor and respect that commitment. What shall the answer be? As an American, he is the heir of a great democratic tradition, which has at its very core the truth that all men are created equal. It is a tradition which summons him to protect the rights of every man, whether he be Jew or Gentile, white or colored, employer or employee. The history of America is a commitment to that way of life, and the call of this season is to each individual to honor and respect that commitment to the fullest degree. What shall the response be? Let it be in the tones of Father Abraham, who, responding to the divine call to duty, said unequivocally, "Here am I."
Thank you, Rabbi Rutenberg. Our Eternal Light drama today, Here Am I, was written by Joseph Mindel and presented in observance of Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year. Cantor Robert Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Roger DeCoven as Abraham, Larry Robinson as Isaac, Juano Hernandez as Eshkol, and Norman Rose as the narrator. The music was composed by Morris Mamorsky and conducted by Milton Catons. The production was under the direction of Edward King. This is Merrill Brandt speaking. Festivals in the high holy day season, which occur on Sunday, the Eternal Light will not be heard. Free time to present the Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program came to you from Radio City in New York. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.